we are in him than what we're doing. And that if we want to receive divine direction, that we need to be more like the sail that he had a sail up here on stage. And if we are focused on who we are becoming in Christ and having our love for him be our first and foremost priority, then we're like a sail that has all this strength and power. And my takeaway from that was that when our being is right, that our doing will be right, and then we will do more things that please him. And Trevor built on this theme with a heartfelt message, and he had 3 points about discerning wisdom from God. Does anybody remember them? The acronym was HAD, H-A-D. Anybody? Okay, can you guess? Okay, maybe you guys weren't here last week. Okay, I'll tell you. The three were hear, ask, and discern. And so he first encouraged us to hear from the God who has perfect wisdom, that God is who we want to hear from first. And then to ask that we are to seek wise counsel, and that we need to ask the people that can point us to Christ and give us good wisdom. And then the last, of course, is we need to actually decide what God, make a decision in our lives, and trust that God is going to be with us even if we're afraid of moving in the wrong direction. And he pointed out that oftentimes that we have fear that we're going to make a mistake, but that we can trust God, even if we're a little bit clumsy at times, that he is going to lead us in the way that he wants us to go. And then today, we're going to be talking about trusting the process. And by that, I mean we are going to look at the life of Paul, and we are going to look at a process that God used in his life to show him his leading. And I think what we'll discover today is that God is intimately involved in our lives, and that he desires to lead us and to show us the way to go. And I think oftentimes we feel like we're kind of floundering, but what we'll decide and what we'll look at today is how involved God is in the process of leading us. Because getting divine direction is not an unattainable mystery. God doesn't want it to be a mystery for us. And, you know, when I think about divine direction, I think about how much I want that instead of Mo direction. Anybody here done their own direction? Okay, my Mo direction is when I lean on my own understanding. And sometimes when I walk in my own self-sufficiency and thoughts instead of depending on the Lord. But what I want is to find divine direction. And so we're going to be looking at the life of Paul. But before we do that, let's dive in and pray so that we can ask God's blessing on this time. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are and the way that you are so intimately involved in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for each and every person that's here today. Lord, we come from different walks of life. We have different perspectives. We have different joys and different sorrows. But we thank you that you want to meet each one of us right where we are at, and that you want to bring us into your presence. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing on this morning. We pray, God, that you would speak to each one of us and guide us in your truth through your word. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we pray all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this series has been very relevant for so many people because we've heard about some of the tough questions that people are asking. Some of you are trying to figure out what kind of job that you should be at. Others of you are trying to determine what school to go to. Some of you are trying to decide, should you date this person or should you marry this person? Some of you are navigating a broken relationship and you don't quite know what to do. And others of us are just maybe asking what ministry we should be involved in. But all of us have questions in our life, and all of us want divine direction. And I think it's easy for us to be concerned about whether we're going to go in the wrong direction. And so sometimes we kind of get frozen and don't do anything at all. But today, we'll look at how we can find that divine direction. And there is a perfect example in the scriptures of a man who really knew how to follow God's direction. And that was the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at his story in the book of Acts. But what I want us to know today is that his story is not untouchable to us. I think sometimes we think that when we read God's word and we look at examples of men and women in the Bible, we think, oh, that's them. But you know what? This, we can be touched and used in the same way that Paul was. Because after all, Paul was really, if you know much about Paul, when he was Saul before he met Jesus, Paul was the worst of the worst. I mean, he condemned and Christians, and he persecuted people. And I am sure that if you or I were walking down the street and we saw him, or not down the street, down the path, that we would go in the opposite direction because he was so feared by so many. But it gives me great comfort because I think, hey, if God can use and transform somebody like Paul, that means that he can use and transform somebody like me. So I'm hoping today that you can learn from his example that we have in Scripture. And the Scripture that we're going to be talking about in the book of Acts is after he had spent 3 years in Ephesus, and he had been with this group of people that he loved and that he guided and discipled, and he was able to actually spread the good news of Christ around the whole province of Asia. And he left and he spent the winter in Corinth, and this is probably about AD 56, and he was on his way to Jerusalem, and he puts his boat into Miletus, and he decides to send for the elders of the church because he has this sense that he will not be going back to Corinth, and that he will, I mean to Ephesus, and that he will not be seeing these men and women that he loves so much. So he called the elders of the church together, and he gave them what we would almost term kind of not really a last will and testament, but in some ways it was, because he didn't know what would happen to him. And so these are the words that he wanted them to understand and hear the most. And so we're going to read about those in Acts. And why don't we all stand and read this together? In Acts 20, 22 to 24, and we're going to be looking at the scripture this morning. Okay, read with me. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. You can be seated. Thank you. Paul obviously was somebody that was so in tune with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit that he did not question when the Lord sent him in that direction. And I want to be like Paul. I'm not always as easy to lead. I don't always, sometimes the Lord has to hit me over the head a little bit, but I want to be like him, and I want to learn from this scripture that he is teaching us. And so the first part of that, the first point and the first step in our process is to trust the Spirit's prompting. And we're going to look at the first verse, which is, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. And that's Acts 20, 22. And we're going to focus first on the words compelled by the Spirit. And they are the Greek words deo honuma. Deo honuma. And what deo meant, it meant to be compelled or bound or wrapped up in, and nua meant spirit, current, or breeze. So to be compelled by the Spirit was to be bound up in, wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. And some versions actually call it that he was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when we hear those words about being prompted by the Holy Spirit, I don't know whether you've heard people say that to you, is that they were prompted by the Holy Spirit or the Lord told them. And initially, we can look at that and think, golly, is hearing a prompting from God only for the really holy people? You know, is that something God wants to do with me? And I think that that is exactly what God wants to do. And for preparing for today, I realize how much he wants to speak and talk to each one of us and let us know the way in which to go. And sometimes, you know, I think that this is more about who God is and that God is the one that leads us than, and it's not as much about me. So that if God wants to move me in a direction, if he wants to move you in a direction, he is going to do that. He is going to keep working on us, keep nudging us to help us to go in the direction that he wants us to go. And one of the verses that brings me great comfort is Philippians 1:6. And it says, being confident on this, that he who began a good work within you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I am so grateful that God loves me enough to not let me stay where I'm at, to not let me stay in some of my junk, because I know that God wants more for us than we want for ourselves. You know, God wants more for us than we want for ourselves. And there's another verse that helps to illustrate this, and it's Romans 8:14, and it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the word led in this verse is the Greek word ago. And what led meant was when someone would lead an animal, probably a goat or a cow, and they would do it by putting a rope around their neck. And I think that it was talking about, in those, they were hoping to be gently led, gently tugged. And I think for Paul, he was gently led, because God, he was hearing his voice, and he was easy to lead. But I think for most of us, it's more like this other picture that I have. And you can see that this boy is having to tug this goat along and actually kind of take his leg because he was a little bit harder to pull along. And I think that a friend of ours sent me a verse that she had read in the morning and about a devotional that she read, and there was a phrase, and it was, God won't shout if we only need a whisper. And I think in this example, just like this goat there, is that sometimes God has to shout at me because sometimes I don't hear his whisper. And over the last month or so, I've been really trying to pay attention to the Lord's whispers, and I've been more keenly aware of the ways that the Holy Spirit is prompting me to do something. And by listening more carefully, I realize how many times God really does want to speak to us, and he does want to lead us. And when I listen to him, it's amazing that there's just this sense of peace that comes over us when we hear that prompting. One simple way that that happened for me was that a family member of mine, I was praying for her, and I knew that when I was praying that there was something that was going on in her life, and so I decided to call her. And right on that day, there had been a really terrible thing happened. She had run over her daughter's dog and was really struggling and did not feel like she wasn't in the frame of mind to reach out and call somebody. But how gracious of God that he would put it on my heart to call her and to kind of give her comfort in a time that she was really struggling. And my life was changed forever by someone that followed that prompting of God. And I was not raised in the church. In fact, we have pictures of when we were growing up, a couple of pictures of being dressed in an Easter dress, and I guess we were kind of dropped off because at that time, my parents did not know the Lord at all. And so I had never heard about Jesus. The first time I did was when I started going to Young Life when I was 15. And there was a woman that was in the Young Life group that really kind of took me under her wing. And I remember being in her room and her sharing with me just the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that he died for me, and that he wanted to have a relationship with me, and that he loved me so much. And she even helped me understand that I needed to invite Christ in, that he is a gentleman, that he just doesn't barge his way in. And so she walked me through that process of accepting Christ. And just like she was nudged by God to share that with me, I was so compelled in who I was. I could not believe in him at that time when I heard the message of Christ. And I am so grateful to her that she followed God's leading and that she followed God's prompting and shared with me. And I know maybe the Lord wants to use us. You know, maybe the Lord is wanting to use you to be a blessing to someone, to comfort someone. Last service, we had one of our members, Eileen Kusakabe, that was sitting right back there, and God prompted her to write a book that so many of us have already been blessed by. You know, maybe today he's kind of nudging you to join a life group so that you can get to know other people in the church and be blessed. He may be nudging somebody to kind of upgrade their boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, to somebody that encourages them in the Lord. He may even be asking you or nudging you to forgive that unforgivable friend, that unforgivable family member, that unforgivable coworker. Or he may even be asking you and nudging you today to give up your alcohol use, your drug use, so that you can be a blessing to your family. And whatever it is that God is prompting you to do, we want to pay attention, because after all, he is the one that knows best. And we don't have to be afraid, because whatever God is kind of leading us to do, he's going to help us to accomplish that. And one of the things that really helps is this, is that when we exhibit trust in him, and so that's our next point, is to exhibit blind trust. And the next part of our scripture is Acts 20:22, and it says, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. And Paul was willing to obey the Lord, even though he didn't know what would the next step would be. And I don't know about you, but does anybody else want to know the details of their life ahead of time? You know, many of us want to know what is going to happen, and that uncertainty is really difficult for us. But Paul knew that if God was taking him somewhere, that God knew what was best, and so that he could trust him. And he knew that God knows what's better for our lives than we even know ourselves. And I think if we can grasp that, it is so freeing, because then we're not blinded by fear, and we're not blinded by the fact that if we follow in this direction, that we might fail. You know, and that's why we can exhibit this blind trust. And I have a verse that I love, and it's Isaiah 42:16, and it says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. When I was growing up, we did a lot of camping, kind of the poor person's vacation. And I remember being in my tent at night and needing to go to the bathroom, or as my dad would call it, the latrine. Anybody else's dad call it the latrine? You know, a terrible, you know, little one stool place far out in the boonies. And I remember stepping out of my tent in the middle of the night and it being dark because the moon was clouded over, and having fear until I would turn on my little flashlight. And if I turned on my little flashlight and put it on the path before me, I could take one step at a time. And even if I didn't know whether the path would curve to the right or to the left, I could trust that if my flashlight was on that path, that I could see where I was going to be going and that I would be safe. And I think this is what the Lord does for us, one step at a time. And I think this is what Paul banked on. He knew that he could move forward with blind trust, even though everything was uncertain, even though he didn't know what was going to happen to him. And I think it's really good when we live with a little uncertainty. And I think God puts us in that place because when we're uncertain, then we have to trust. We have to show our faith. And I think that that's something that God is very intentional about, because if we have a huge construction light illuminating our path, we don't need to trust him with our little bit of light. And this is an arena that I feel like the Lord wanted to help me in. And so he prompted me to do something. After sports and arts camp, I was sick for a couple weeks, multiple antibiotics, really was having a hard time getting over it. And somehow I just knew that I needed to go to the ENT. And normally I would go to my family doctor, and I've been to him obviously a lot. But I knew that I needed to go into the ENT. And so I went into him and he did allergy testing. Yeah, I have allergies, looked up my nose, did some other stuff. But then he felt my thyroid and said that it was enlarged. And I've been to the doctor. The doctor had not felt that before. And that I had 18 nodules, and that there were calcifications in some of them, which could be cancerous. And we have a lot of cancer in my family. So initially, obviously, you think, oh gosh, I might have cancer. But God in his grace was so good to me. We have an ENT in our church, and on his walk in our neighborhood one day, he was able to just explain to me, you know, that it's not very life-threatening, that oftentimes they don't even take it out if it is cancerous. But anyway, I still wanted to know. I still wanted to know what was going to happen. So they do a needle biopsy. It takes so long to get it done because of the storm and because of vacations and things like that. And so finally, 2 months later, this last week, I go in for the results of the biopsy. And they didn't get enough cells, and I don't know what's happening. And I don't have an answer and have to have another one done. And on the way home, I was thinking, okay, God, I know you have something for me in this, because you always have something in the process. There is always something that you have. And so as I was driving, I had this sense that the Lord just kind of in a whisper saying to me, Mo, I am in control and you are not. I'm in control and you are not. And I just want you to trust me. And later on, I was like, wow, God, you are so good that you don't want to leave us where we are, and that you're helping me even in this to recognize one more time that you've got this, that you've got our lives. And so I was grateful for that. I was grateful that God used that. And then the next part of the next step in the process is that we might meet resistance. And so the next step is to trust God in the midst of predictable resistance. And the next verse that we're reading, it says in Acts 20:23, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. The Lord had spoken to Paul and told him ahead of time that he could, that there would be prison, that there would be hardships. And Paul was no stranger to that. He had been stoned in Lystra. He had been imprisoned with Silas, and he had been persecuted, but he still stepped in the direction that God wanted him to. And I think that there was resistance for him, and sometimes there's resistance for us when we are trying to do what the Lord wants. Sometimes that comes in the form of people casting doubts when we've decided we're going to do something that God has led us to do, and people cast doubts about that and kind of think we're crazy. Other times, it can be the very people in our lives that love us the most that actually kind of sabotage our efforts to do what we're supposed to be doing. And then sometimes that resistance really is a resistance that comes from within, where it's hard for us to trust God because we don't really believe that God is good. That we really don't believe that he has our best interests in mind. And sometimes we look at our life and we think, God, you know, how, don't you get this? I am hurting. I am struggling in my relationships. All my friends are getting married and I'm still alone. My spouse is cheating on me. And where are you in the middle of that, God? My grandmother is sick. I am sick. And don't you care that I have been praying about something for years and I still haven't got an answer? And sometimes in those times, it's easy for us to lose faith and it's hard for us to trust. But Craig Rochelle, in his book, Divine Direction, says that in order to trust God, that we need to remember two things. And the first is that God's presence is with you, even in the midst of the storm, no matter how alone you feel. You know, because God is with us wherever we go. If we're in a storm, he is right in the middle. He is right in the boat with us, and he is there caring for us and loving us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And then the second thing that we can know is that he points out that not only is God with us in the storms, he will also use them for his purpose in our lives, because God always has a higher purpose for the things that we're going through. And one of the verses that, you know, many of us have read on this is Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And we can trust that if God leads us somewhere, that he's led us for our good, and that gives us hope when it's easier to maybe give up and it's easier to quit. And I had a time in my ministry that it would have been much easier for me to quit. I've served in ministry at different churches for 34 years, and my husband Tom and I were at a church in Seattle for 20 years. We started there right 6 months after the church started, and I don't remember exactly how many years ago, but after our founding pastor had left, he came back and confessed to us his infidelity with somebody that actually had been a member of our church. And the board and the denomination tasked two of us, the lead pastor and myself, to navigate everybody's grief and their anger with them. So we were given the job of meeting with people, talking with people, and I will never forget the meeting that we were at, and people were just hurling insults at us. They were so upset. They were hurt. And the stuff that was coming out was poison. You know, the letters that we received during that time were just terrible. And We had done nothing. I had done nothing. And it was so hard because I am kind of a people pleaser, okay? And I want everybody to be happy. You know, I mean, after all, that's really why I work with kids, you know? I want everybody to be happy. And I am so glad that the Lord spoke to me at that time because I was really struggling. And he gave me a verse, and it's from 2 Chronicles 20, and it's about where Jehoshaphat was in a battle, and God told him to just station himself and to watch the battle. And it says, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And that day, I felt like I got a clear message from God for me. And the words were specifically that I was supposed to stand, that I was supposed to be positive, and I was supposed to trust the Lord. And specifically that I was supposed to just show up, that's all God wanted for me was to just show up. And I am so glad that I did not quit at that time. One, because I was able to see what God was doing in the church, and the church made it through that, but more because he wanted to do something in me. He wanted to teach me for me to lay on kind of that people-pleasing attitude and that desire that I have, and to recognize that all that matters is my audience of one, that all that matters is what God cares and what God thinks of me. And I am so glad that I was able to withstand that resistance because God knew that he wanted to do something in me. And the last thing that Paul shows us in this verse is that we are to trust and totally surrender. That's the next point in your notes, is to trust and totally surrender. And the last part of that verse is, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And the part that stands out in the beginning to me is where it says, "I consider my life nothing to me." And that is so unbelievable that he cared more about the fulfillment of his course and what God wanted to do than even his own life. And Paul often used this illustration of a race whenever he was talking in scripture. And in 2 Timothy 4:7, this is right before actually Paul did die, is that he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And Paul was unmoved by external fears. He was unmoved by anything but just trusting the Lord. And also there was a finish line for him. And what was this race that God had put Paul in? And I think the race is where it says in verse 24, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace, because he lived to make known God to everyone. He wanted everyone to hear about the good news of Christ. And he was so devoted to Christ that's all he cared about. And I think that is our secret. That is the secret to this process of finding divine direction and being led by the Lord, is when we care not as much about ourselves, but that we care about other people coming to know Christ, and we care about people hearing the good news of Jesus. And I know that he was transformed by this, and I know that I want to be transformed in this way, and I want to learn how to totally surrender. And there is someone in my life group that, you know, as we are praying for each other and sharing, she was sharing about something that God had led her to do. And over the course of the time that we were waiting and praying with her, I was so impressed by her total surrender that we asked her to do a video. And so I'd like you to see this video of Michelle Canahan. She's actually sitting right here.
Well, hi, my name's Michelle Canahan. I'm married to Timothy, and we have a daughter together, Mikala. We've been coming to Waipuna now for about 5 years. We have 4 older children and 7 grandchildren that live on Kauai. I work as a registered nurse, and for my fun job, I coach CrossFit, and I love to train there at Upcountry CrossFit. I was adopted as a baby and never knew my birth parents. And I was given an opportunity to find my birth mom and get her address through an adoption agency. They helped me put together a letter, which I sent to her, and it was certified. So I knew that it was received. She was very moved, but she didn't really know what to say to me, and that she would call me, but I didn't know when. Through about 2 months of waiting for a call and not knowing if there was going to be a call, God really just guided me along this journey with Him. And in that process of the waiting and to the memories coming back of being a child and growing up and wondering and having to think about your parents not being able to keep you. And it brought back fears, and it brought back insecurities that I've had. And so it was just amazing that God was able to just speak His love and His light into me. It really only matters what He thinks and feels about me, and that it doesn't matter what the world or, if there was a chance that she wouldn't call me and that she wouldn't want to be a part of my life. I was given an opportunity to hold all those thoughts captive as those fears would come in, and I would just grab that thought, hold it up to God, and shine His light on it, and then just come back and keep my eyes just firmly planted on Him. But the process that God took me through was just to really plant my identity firmly in Him, and to know that I am wholly His and fully loved by Him. Well, after a couple months, I was able to hear back from my birth mom and able to talk to her on the phone. I was able to more accept her for where she is and completely just love her for who she is. And we've had some great talks, and we plan on getting together in the summer and she can meet her granddaughter. It's been wonderful to have my life group through this whole process. They've walked with me through this, and I've been able to share with them steps in the process, and been able to share and grow deeper. Through this process, I've just been able to see more of God's radical love for me and for others, and that He's always there for us, and He's just right there, and He loves us so much.
Yeah. I mean, what an example of total surrender. And as the worship team comes up, we're going to pray in a minute. And if you feel comfortable during our time of prayer, I would love it if you could just open your hands and put in your hands whether it is a decision that you're trying to make, a burden that you're carrying, something that you're going through at this time, and that we can just offer it to God in total surrender and let Him take it. You know, it's the picture of kind of, instead of holding on so tightly to those things that we are struggling with, that we just open our hands and surrender to Him and give them to Him. So let's come together in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need You so much in our life. And Lord, we just all, each one of us, give You this thing that we are holding on to so tightly. Lord, this decision we're making, this burden that we're carrying, Lord, whether it's about our marriage or our job or our family or whatever it is, Lord, something that you're trying to do in us that we are struggling with, Lord, I just pray that we could each one of us surrender that to you at this time. And Lord, we thank you that you take it and that you help us along this process and in this journey. And Lord, give us the strength that we need to really keep surrendering it to you and to giving our all to you. And Lord, you know, one of the first ways that we are prompted by the Holy Spirit is when we are nudged and wooed by you to come to faith. And so, Lord, if there is anybody here that has been just waiting to make that decision, to let you be their all in all, I just pray that right now that they could confess you as Lord and Savior. And so today that there could be a party in heaven because one person has come to faith and come to know you. And so, Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We thank you that you are trustworthy and that you are good. And we thank you that you are in so intimately involved in every little detail of our lives. We love you, we thank you, and we just pray all these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And let's us continue in that spirit as we worship now.